I want to talk tonight once again on the subject of spiritual warfare. Tonight, taking a look at the authority that God wants us to have over our enemy. I believe that God wants us to take authority over the things in our lives. Not only over just the enemy, but He wants us to take authority over the circumstances in our lives that the enemy would cause. And so, we want to look at this in the understanding that God has given to each and every one of us a great task. Amen? He's given to this church a great task. He's given to the church worldwide a great task. We have a great task before us. The Bible says before Jesus can come that the gospel has to go to the ends of the earth. The Bible also says that the church has to come into the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ. And so when we look at all of that, the task that God has given to us, we need to realize that we have an enemy who will oppose all that is God. That's a part of his nature. He opposes all that is of God. And so in order for us to complete and fulfill that which God has given to us means that we must walk in the authority that God has for not only us as individuals, but us as a church. I believe that God is wanting to revive His church, and we've talked a lot about that recently, how God desires to revive His church. Why does God want to revive His church? So that we will be inspired. Amen? So that you will be inspired, so that I will be inspired, so his church will be inspired and equipped for the task that's before us. God doesn't want to revive us just for our own selfish gain. He wants to revive us so we will be equipped to fulfill his purpose. And it's as we are involved in his purpose, as we're involved in the warfare that comes as a result of being in his purpose, that we are continually revived. And we know that we have an enemy. Anybody not aware of that? We have an enemy. His name is Satan. And he opposes and exalts himself above all that is God. Let's look at this in 2 Thessalonians. It's talking about here the Antichrist, the beast. But we're talking about a spirit that's in the world today. The spirit's very much a part, and it's going to fully manifest itself during the reign of the beast. But it's a spirit that's already in the world today, this Antichrist spirit. There is an Antichrist spirit in the world today that opposes all that is of God, that exalts itself above God. There's a spirit in this world that wants to be exalted above everything that is of God. And the thing that's going to help us to overcome that is walking in the authority that God has given to each and every one of us so that we don't allow that spirit to exalt himself against us. And so it says here, first of all, in verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, speaking of the second coming, unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now this is his character. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. See? There's a spirit in the world today that wants to claim the worship for God. There's a spirit in the world today that wants to take the creative force of God away from him and claim it for himself. There's a spirit in the world today that wants to be worshipped and exalted. And he says that he will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so this is an antichrist spirit. This is a full manifestation of that spirit, but the spirit is loose in the church today as well as in the world. And when we as Christians abdicate our authority, we allow that spirit to exalt itself in our midst. And so it's very important that we take authority over the enemy. In other words, that we walk in the authority that God has given to us. We walk in the kingdom realm that God has appointed to us. We walk in the character that God has appointed to us. We walk in the power that God has appointed unto us. 1 John and verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 3, talks about this antichrist spirit. It says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the antichrist, which you have heard was coming." In other words, you've heard that this spirit was coming, this antichrist was coming, but he goes on to say it's already in the world. The spirit is already in the world. The spirit that exalts and opposes, exalts himself above God and opposes all that is God. You see, this is what we have to understand. We have to realize that there's a spirit out there in that world that opposes you, that opposes me, that opposes the church. And that we cannot afford to go on living our lives as if that spirit does not exist. We have to recognize that spirit for what it is and deal with it. We have to understand that people in the world who are under the influence of that spirit, not necessarily possessed, but under the influence of that spirit, are opposing you, are exalting themselves above that which is called God. That's what we're up against. But I believe that, and this is what I'm going to show us tonight, is that does not have to have any effect on our lives whatsoever. That does not have to hinder you in any way whatsoever. That's the power of God's Word. That's the power of God's Spirit working in us. The Bible says, "He who is within me is greater than he who is in the world." You see, the Spirit of God who is in me is much greater than the satanic spirit that's in the world today. And therefore, as we rise up and we begin to take our place, as we begin to find our position, the enemy is going to oppose us. He's going to threaten. He's going to growl. He's going to come against us in many, many different ways. One of the ways that he tries to come against us is just in the area of confusion, in the area of turmoil. And I shared with you a lot of different ways last week and some of the tactics and devices of Satan that he uses, disunity and things, you know, where he can conquer and divide, or divide and conquer. You know, things of that nature. And that we are not to be ignorant concerning the devices and the ways of the enemy, but we're to understand how he works and not to be caught off guard. We cannot afford to give place to the devil. We cannot afford to allow the devil to have a foothold in our lives. You can't afford that. I tell you what, the Bible says that he's coming to kill, to steal, to destroy. The Bible talks about, I believe it's in Luke 12, where the man's house is broken into and, you know, everything's a wreck and all of that. And if we would have known the hour when Jesus was coming, we would have been more on guard and kept him out. And so we cannot afford to allow Satan to have a foothold in our lives in any of the ways in which he works, in any of the ways in which he deceives. We cannot give him that ground. Because every inch of ground we give to him, what we're doing is we're abdicating over to him that which God has given to us. And that causes us to be ineffectual for what God has called us to do. You see, we have to realize that He's a liar. And that there is no truth in Him. He's a deceiver. And that we must walk in the authority that God has given to us over the enemy of our faith. We have an enemy that comes against our faith. When Jesus was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, He dealt with this. In John 8, in verse 44, you can turn there. He accused them of falling into the devil's trap. The religious leaders, Jesus accused of being of their father, the devil. He said, you've fallen into his trap. And as a result of the religious leaders falling into the trap and the snare of the enemy, the purpose and the will of God was thwarted in their lives. And they became very ineffectual. They did not accomplish God's purpose because they allowed the enemy to have that foothold, and they became deceived as to what true religion, and religion is not necessarily a bad word. The Bible says good, pure religion is to visit widows and do good works, things of that nature. And let's not get all hung up over some of these things, but there is a religious spirit in the world that's not good. And the enemy thrives on that. In John 8, in verse 44, when Jesus spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees, He said, you're of your father the devil. Can you imagine that? I mean, these people, they were so self-righteous. Thought they were so great. And Jesus just tells them like it is. He says, you're of your father the devil. He didn't mince his words, did he? And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. Truth is one of the most powerful weapons that we have because the enemy cannot stand in the midst of truth. He can't. Because it exposes him for who he is. Because there is no truth in him, it says. There's no truth in him. And so he cannot stand in the midst of truth. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. And so God's desire for us is not to get caught up in the snares of the devil and become an enemy of the cross in the same way that these Pharisees and these scribes became an enemy of the cross. These religious people who found themselves being at enmity with God. That can happen to us. You can be saved, born again, going to heaven, and find yourself at enmity with God. Finding yourself at cross purposes with the purpose and the will of God. Because you're following your own self-willed nature. God's desire for us is just to simply put on the armor of light, to put on the weapons of our warfare, and to become one who becomes a viable threat to the enemy himself. Instead of falling into his ways, instead of falling into his snares and his traps that he lays for us, we set traps for him. The Bible, doesn't it say, be harmless as doves? How's that go? Pardon? Say it. One person say it. I can't hear everybody saying it. Mike, say it. You said it real loud. Right. There you go. To be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. God wants us to be wise in warfare. But yet to be harmless. And you know, a few weeks ago I was at a pastor's meeting and we were talking about warfare. And one of them mentioned that The thing that we have to watch out for when we start talking about spiritual warfare is there's a machoism that seems to rise with that, which defeats the whole thing. And that real, genuine spiritual warfare is like Jesus, who is, you know, gentle and humble, and you know, that humility that comes forth, that obedience to the cross. Rather than being an enemy of the cross, we become a friend of the cross by embracing the cross. And so so just as the scribes and the Pharisees, who were religious people, became a thorn to Jesus. I mean, is that what we want? To become a thorn to Jesus? To become a thorn to the people who are trying to work out the purpose and the will of God in their lives? That can happen because of a religious spirit that can get into our lives. And we become a thorn in the overall purpose of God unless we wholeheartedly submit to the will and the purpose of the Father. I've seen this happen. In fact, I was just talking to somebody the other day. They're involved in this ministry or whatnot, and he's talking about how it could have gone so much farther and so much faster if this person that was involved with him wouldn't have been of such a self-willed nature. It happens in the kingdom of God. When you get people that are wanting to follow their own self-willed ways, you find that you actually in that become an enemy to what God is trying to establish and move forward in. And so what it takes is all of us together, if we're going to stand in the authority that God has given to us, to walk in the authority that God has given to us, is that we must bind our hearts together in will and purpose. And be like Jesus, who made himself of no reputation and submitted himself to the obedience of the cross. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18 and 19, Paul makes reference of those who have become an enemy of the cross. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." He says, "I'm weeping as I tell you this, that the dearly beloved brothers have become enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." What made them an enemy to the cross? Carnal appetites. Carnal appetites oppose and exalt themselves against everything that is of God. You see, it's pretty hard to be involved in spiritual warfare when you're giving yourselves to the carnal nature. Now, I recognize that there's a war that goes on between the spirit and the flesh. But we need to figure out somewhere along the line who's ruling who here. Is the flesh and the carnal nature constantly on the winning side? Or is the spirit getting some of those victories? You see, our lives are a pattern. The Bible says a pattern of good works we're to walk in. And so, basically, unless we really do something with our lives, we walk in a pattern. We walk in a cycle. A continuous cycle of doing good and doing bad. Doing good and doing evil. And we give in to that evil part of our nature too often. And God is saying, if you really want to come to grips with this thing, to take authority over the enemy, then you're good. First of all, you're going to have to deal with your own nature. You're going to have to realize that He has given you the Spirit, the power, the victory to overcome those things. And I'll tell you something. You can try all of these self-help programs. I got to be careful how I talk here, because I can get myself into trouble. Because there's a lot of good stuff out that seemingly seems good. And I'm not really down on the 12-step program. I think there's some good in it. But I'll tell you what, if that's all you're relying on. See, the whole thing is this. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. Our victory is in Jesus Christ. Our victory is in the Holy Spirit who is working within us. Now, if He wants to use that 12-step program to help us along the way, that's fine. But don't get yourself in a position where you're totally dependent on these self-help programs to get you out of your mess. Because it'll probably only be temporal. But the worst thing is this, is that there is a certain amount, I don't know why I'm getting off on all this. It really wasn't intended. But anyway, is that there is a certain amount of good you can do with your own willpower. But that's not teaching you how to walk in the Spirit. That's not teaching you how to release the Spirit in your life. That's not teaching you how to be an overcomer in the issues that deal with an enemy out there. See, I think we need to learn how to take the power, the authority that God has given to us and apply it to the most minute things that confront us in our lives. So that we learn how to walk in the Spirit. So that we learn how to war a good warfare. In the things that are not so insurmountable. So that when the insurmountable things come our ways, we will have these tactics really worked out in our heart. We will have these battle strategies worked out, and we'll know how to apply them and get the victory. Rather than being unprepared and all of a sudden, boom, you know, you're blown out of the saddle. And you don't know how to get back up. But if you know how to get back up, with the little things, you take that same principle and just apply it in a bigger way. And God gives you the victory. When we abdicate our authority, the enemy will willingly take it from you. He says, "You want to give it to me, I'll take it. I'm not going to fight you for it." He says, "I'll take it. No holds barred." And then he'll take it and he'll use it against you. That's the type of guy he is. Well, we think, well, we're giving in to him and, you know, we're going to, you know, make a deal with him. You don't make deals with the enemy. He's a double crosser. But what happens is that you get caught up in the snare. And then eventually become an enemy to the very cause in which you were enlisted. I don't want that. I don't want to be an enemy to the cause of Christ. Because of my own selfish appetites. My own carnal appetites. And all these different things. But I want to realize that God is doing something within me that's causing me to walk in the victory. And that I don't have to give place to the devil. To give him room. I don't have to give that place up. I don't have to abdicate my authority. What I want us to realize here is that God is raising up a people who will not give place to the devil. In this hour right now, God is raising up an army of people who are not going to give place to the devil. He's raising up a people who will not succumb to the wiles and the cunning devices of the enemy. That's a challenge for each and every one of us. That God's Spirit, and I can sense God's Spirit doing that all over the body today. That God is pulling people together. He's pouring His Spirit out in a mightier way so that we will not be harassed by the enemy. Oh, we'll be harassed to a certain degree, but it does not have to affect us. By our proper response to God in the midst of harassment, the enemy has to flee. He doesn't have to have that foothold. And that's what we have to realize, is that each and every one of us, is that we have to have this mentality that says, I don't have to give Him that room in my life. It doesn't belong to Him. It belongs to God. He's raising up a people who will not be threatened or intimidated by the empty threats and attacks of the enemy. The enemy can intimidate all he wants. He can attack all he wants. But the people of God will not be hindered because of that. Will not be set back because of that. Will not give ground because of that. He's raising up a people who will know how to walk in the strength of their Lord, who will have put on the armor of light and the weapons of their warfare. People who know how to walk with their armor and their weapons. People who will know how to put the enemy to flight so that he has no influence or authority in the affairs of their lives and the church and their family and everything else. When the enemy comes, listen to me, parents. When the enemy comes against your household, it's your responsibility to stand against him so that he does not have that influence upon your children, upon your home. And I believe that this is a promise that God has given to each and every one of us. It's a promise that He's given to His church. It's in His Word. He has said that we are able to put to flight the enemies of our faith. Look at Leviticus 26 and verse 8. It says, 5 of you shall chase 100. 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. That's Old Testament, but there's spiritual application in that. The Old Testament was written for our example. Even though they were natural things, it was the Spirit of God working in them that enabled them to do those things. And much of our warfare is in the spiritual realm. And that God says that we can put to flight the enemy when he comes against us, when he attacks, when he curses, when he opposes, when he exalts, that we can just put him to flight. That we can send him on his way. And I'll tell you, one of the first prerequisites of that is found in James, where it says, submit to God and the devil will flee. You see, coming into full, complete submission and surrender to the Spirit of God is where it begins. Without that, the devil will not go. But as soon as you come to that place in your life where you completely surrender to the will and the purpose of God, whatever it may be, maybe it's in the area of forgiveness, and you're having a hard time forgiving somebody, and you want to release that forgiveness to God, but it just wants to hang on for dear life. God says, surrender. Surrender. Give it to me, and it will flee. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's pride. It's something different in each and every one of our lives. But I'll tell you what, there's something that happens. It happens in worship. When you're worshiping God, you're saying, especially in free praise, you know, where you, I don't know about you, but I really like to get into free praise.
There's a time where you can really pour your heart out to God and, oh Lord, I just surrender to you. I just give you my life. Help me, Lord. And so many of us, we're trying to fight the battle with our own strength. We're defeated. We're walking around with like little puppy dogs with their tail caught between their legs, you know? Is that what we want? Forget. Is defeat, defeat, defeat. But when we come to the place in our life where we said, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to just freely surrender my life and submit my heart unto you. That's where it begins. That's where the process begins. And from there, God begins to really give you some solid direction and how to deal with that thing in your life, whatever it may be. In Psalms 110 and verse 2, we're talking about how God wants to raise up a people who will not give place to the devil. It says, the Lord shall send the rod of strength out of Zion. He says, the Lord shall send your rod of strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. See, God wants us to rule right in the midst of all of our enemies. I mean, try to, you know, visualize this in your mind, if you will, in a very natural way. You're in the middle of a battlefield. Let's put ourselves back in the Old Testament and just, you know, envision for a moment, you know, all of our enemies around us. And we're right in the midst of that. And God says, rule. Rule. We have enemies. Enemies of the faith. Satan. God wants us to rule. There's people that are under the influence of demonic power that want to hinder what God is doing in your lives. Joel chapter 2. It's another scripture concerning this. In verse 1 it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. For it is at hand. A day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be such after them, even for many successive generations. A people coming who will not give place to the devil. Read Joel chapter 2 and you see that mighty army that just marches all over the face of the enemy. The enemy has no influence, effect whatsoever. It's a people that are just totally invincible to the power and the authority of the enemy. And God has given each and every one of us as individual believers that authority in our lives to trample over all the forces of the enemy. Individually, we have the power, we have the authority to walk all over him, to trample all over him. But so often what happens is when the enemy comes against us, we just want to fall down and die. We want to quit. We don't want to get up and fight. You know, there needs to be a fighting spirit within us. And like I said, not a macho type of thing, but a real fighting spirit within us that says, enemy, I'm not accepting this. I mean, how many of us have ever really got tough with him when sickness has come our way? There have been times where I have just stood my ground and I said, you're not getting anything here. And he didn't. There have been other times where I just said, okay, I give up. I'll get sick. And I get sick. And he walks all over me. Tramples all over me. Because I was just too lazy to get up and fight. I mean, am I telling it like it is or what? Isn't that kind of the way it works most of the time? I mean, when you get serious
about dealing with the enemy, he just cowers in your presence. He doesn't know what to do. He gets confused. But when we just let him have what he wants, abdicate that authority, he takes it and makes us miserable. But God is raising us up to be a people who are not going to give place to the devil. Listen to this passage in Hebrews. It speaks of those who have gone on before us, people like Samson, Gideon, Barak, Jephthah, Samuel, and David. It talks about how they were able to quench the violence of the enemy. And as a result of walking in the strength of God, they were able to put to flight the enemies of their faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. See, they subdued the kingdoms. See, sometimes we just read the scripture and we don't allow the full import of it to have its impact in our lives. It says, here were people who were able to subdue kingdoms. I mean, are we subduing the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of darkness? Is it being subdued before us? It says, they worked righteousness. They obtained promises. See, the promises of God are there, but it takes spiritual warfare, it takes diligence, it takes a fighting spirit to obtain those promises. God says, you can have, these are all yours. God says, listen, Scott, I'm giving you something good. But you know what's going to happen? Is that the enemy stands between God and those promises. Between you and the promise. There stands the enemy. See, it's just like the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt and went into the promised land, they had the whole promised land before them. But they had one big problem. There were giants in the land. The enemy was in the land. And they had to defeat the enemy before they could have the promise. They had to fight for the promise of God. And like I said last week, we need to realize that we are in a battle. We are in a fight to the finish. And if we don't have a warring attitude in us, then we're not going to get what God has given to us. We're not going to receive those things that God has given to us if we don't have a warring attitude that says, that's mine, it belongs to me. Satan, get out of the way, I'm taking it. Because God's already given it to us. There's plenty that God has already given to us. That all we have to do is take it and receive it and not let the enemy come near that promise that God. Get away, get away, get away. It doesn't belong to you. And so as we look at this, it says, well, let me go on to read here in verse 34. It says, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. And they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All the strangers in the land. It says they turned. They made them run. They had to flee. And so if this is truly the picture of what God has in store for us as His people in this hour that we're now living in, then it's time for us to put on the armor of light, to put on the weapons of our warfare, and begin to get serious about the battle that's waging in our midst. Amen? So we need to put on the weapons. I'm not going to get too much into the weapons tonight. I want to mention them. We need to put on the weapons of our warfare. Now is the time to put on the armor of light. Now is the time to put on the weapons of our warfare. We cannot afford to wait till it's too late. If we do, we will become a victim. If we wait until it's too late, we will be victimized. And we'll get in trouble. But we need to be people who are engaged in the vigors of the war that's before us. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 and verse 12. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Time to wake up, people. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And then it goes on to say, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. But let us put on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't fight the devil through carnality. But they are mighty. Your weapons are mighty for the pulling down of the enemy's strongholds. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 and 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We're wrestling. It's a wrestling match. It's a spiritual wrestling match. Have you ever felt while you're in prayer that you're actually wrestling with the devil? Tell you what, the angel better push me back. I mean, there are times where we're in prayer. You know, we talked about prevailing prayer a few weeks ago. It's what it is, getting down there and just wrestling with the devil and say, man, let me at it. We must determine within ourselves the necessity of putting on all that God has given to us. It's got to be a determination in my heart, my mind, my spirit, that I need to put on everything that God has given me to wear. That if I fail to put something on, that's a part of my armor, then I'm leaving myself exposed for an enemy, the enemy, to have a certain foothold in my life. Then it goes on in Ephesians to say here, concerning our warfare, the weapons, it says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Truth, as I said before, is a powerful weapon. When you understand and know the truth, and you speak the truth, it is a weapon that the enemy has to flee because he cannot stand in the midst of truth. Then it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Remember where Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist, and John says, hey, you know, you should be baptizing me. I shouldn't be baptizing you. And Jesus says, you've got to baptize me in order to fulfill all righteousness. You know what he was talking about there? Talking about fulfilling the revealed will of God. That's part of our righteousness. You see, when we walk in the revealed will of God, there is a part of God's righteousness that comes forth that is a very powerful weapon to be used against the enemy. I mean, righteousness is more than that. It's all that Jesus has and gives us. It's right standing with God. It's by His grace, His unmerited favor, all of that. But I believe that there's something there when Jesus said to John, you know, we must do this in order to fulfill all righteousness. This is a revealed will of God. And there's a fullness of God's righteousness that comes forth in our lives. See, when our lives are not walking in accordance with the purpose and the will of God, that's what we were saved for, wasn't it? We were called to walk in this holy calling not according to our works, but according to His purpose. See, when we are involved in that, there is a cloak of righteousness that is upon us that protects. It's a powerful, powerful weapon to be used against the enemy. And then it also says here, in having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's a part of our weaponry. Praying in the Spirit. And being watchful to this end, always with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And so, as we conclude tonight, we've been promised victory in every battle you face. In every battle that we face, we have been promised victory. So let's not be negligent about putting on our weapons, about walking in the armor of light. Let's be armed. Let's be ready for every battle that comes our way. For my God has given us the victory. Amen? Being ready, being armed for every battle that comes our way. Psalms 44 and verse 4 says, "You are my King, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Command victories for Israel. Command victories for your church, for your people, Lord. Command those victories." God has commanded victories in our lives. It says, "Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us." Luke 10 and verse 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But you've got to be in God's revealed will, amen? You've got to have all of your armor. You've got to be walking in truth. You've got to have the shield of faith. You've got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You got to be praying in the Spirit. All of these things are a part of your armor that God has given to you. And so we've been given authority over the enemy. Let's live our lives like we do. Amen? Let's live our lives like we have authority over the enemy. Let's not just live our lives like the enemy doesn't exist. Let's not live our lives like we have no authority, but let's live our lives like we really believe it. And let's quit letting the enemy have the advantage in our lives. I'm tired of God's people, you know, giving themselves over to the enemy and the enemy having all of the advantage. The advantage belongs to you. It belongs to me. It belongs to the church. And so let's take the authority that God has given to us and walk in it and put the enemy to flight. And I believe as we do, we will see victory in the camp of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, give us a victory, we pray. God, cause that warring spirit to rise up within each and every one of us. That we would not give in to the enemy. We would not give him foothold in our lives, but that we would rise, Lord, and take the authority that you have given to us and go forth into the battle, Lord, and win those battles that you have already won for us. Pray for each and every one of these people, Lord. Bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.